If you'd like to read with us in 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, and reading the 9th verse. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And as I was thinking about this today, here he said, know thou the God of thy father. David was one that followed after God. David did not live a perfect life. He comes short. But he repented. And he sought after the things of God. And David, from a heart of a sincerity, he really wanted to know what God had for him. David wanted to follow God. And here he was telling Solomon, know thou the God of thy father. You and I today, if we know godly men in our life, whether they was our natural father or not, if we know men that knew God, that we've seen the evidence in their life, that they were familiar with God, that they believe God, that they walk in the path of holiness, then those are the ones we need to set our mind and our heart to follow after. Why? Our life here is so short that we need to set our determination. We're going to make a difference. We're going to do something that will carry that on to the next generation, that they might see God in us, that they'll have a hunger. And so he was listening to Mom this morning as she was talking about Darren, and he was concerned what was going to happen to his children if he didn't live, if he died from cancer. Instead of really thinking, what have I left him as an example to follow in their life? Do I want them to go to heaven? You and I today, if we got a little one following after, if we got a plan, just like my grandson last night, he stepped off the hot coal. But if Darren was out there walking with me, when he sees her, he would have talked to him about it. Why? He could. And realize God has promised each and every one of us a place when we die for all of eternity. And do you realize every human being is going to go to a place that God has promised us? Why? Well, he promised us heaven if we live for him. And he promised us hell if we didn't. So we're going to a place that God has promised us, and it's according to your choices. He said, I set before you a straight and a narrow path or a broad path. It's up to us to choose which way we want to go. And, you know, as parents, we need to live a life in front of our children till they can see in us what God would have them to be. Here, as David was telling Solomon, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. You and I today, you know, I've thought of this so much. People, they will call upon God when they're in trouble, when they need something. But then when things are going good, or even sometimes when things are going bad, we don't think of God right at the time to call upon Him. We don't think of God because He is not present with us in our life because we're not living for Him. But then when we get in trouble, we think, oh, I'll call upon God. You and I, we need to live our life each and every day to where when we call upon God, we know that He's listening. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing to have an experience with God here, to know the God of our Father, you and I to know that when we get on our knees and pray, it's a true and a living God that's listening up to us. It's one that has brought men out of a fiery furnace without even having the smell of smoke upon their clothes. It's one that delivered a man out of a live sin. In what we're asking of Him. And, you know, our fathers, if they choose to live for the Lord, God is there to hear, to answer, and to make a difference. But if they walk away here in the last part, said, but if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. You and I, just because our people has known God, don't think that that gives us the liberty to live as we please. He said, if you forsake God, He'll cast you off forever. You know, it's a horrible thing to think of God turning His back upon you. But you know, in the Bible, it talks about if we don't listen when God calls upon us, we don't see the things that God is trying to show us, there's coming a time when God's going to stop His ear unto our cry. God's going to refuse to see us when we go trying to reach out to Him. Why? Because when He was reaching out to us, we didn't have time for it. You know, when God speaks to a person's heart, I have never been able to explain to a person how you hear the voice of the Lord. But I can explain to you how you know that it's God talking. My voice can only reach the eardrums. God's voice reaches the marrow of the bone. My voice will not change the heart rate. It won't change the blood pressure. It won't change the respiration. God's voice will. I can remember when I was in sin and God began to speak to me. I could feel every beat of my heart right in the veins in my neck. I could feel it in my chest and all over my body. I knew God was speaking to me. And He let me know I was lost. I was in need of a Savior. That went across the aisle. It made no difference what they did. That wasn't going to save me. God was calling my name. He would let me know He died for me. You and I today, when God speaks the door, our only responsibility is to say yes and do it. Surrender our heart and love, and then we get done. wanted Solomon to know he is God. I would like, in hope and pray, that every grandchild, every great-grandchild, every great-great-grandchild, and every descendant from now until the Lord comes back in my life, I hope every one of them hears the voice of the Lord and says yes unto it. That is my prayer. And you that's sitting here today, some of you have never seen my dad but in a picture. You may have heard his voice in some recorded message. And some of you may have not. But I can tell you, they were prayers that were praying for you. And what did he say? Whether you ever meet that man here or not, ever see anything that he did, ever hear any messages that he prayed, there's coming a time, whether you accept God or not, you're going to hear that prayer. I believe it's all been. Those who close their mind and the heart of God, in hell they'll hear. They was somebody that cared and prayed for them. They had that opportunity to walk through that door, and yet they said no. You and I, it's time to wake up and realize God will not always stand at the door and knock. But if He's knocking today, we better open unto Him, because if we don't, tomorrow we may really regret not doing it. You know, I can remember seeing this in a paper years and years ago, and I wish I'd have got it and saved it. A woman that didn't believe there was a God, when she went to die, before she died, she had out of this great big chunk of granite her tomb carved out. And it was a lid that went on it. And it was big old steel bands that she had to go around it, and big bolts that locked it together. And she said she was going to prove there was no resurrection. No God would ever get her body out of there. They buried her in that, put the lid on it, and tightened the steel bands up. No moisture, no dirt, nothing in the inside. Just her casket, her body. And God calls the seed of a tree to be there. And it come growing out between the lid and that. And it grew and heaved at it, broke those steel bands and opened it up. And they had to take the coffin out and bury it in the ground. Why God proved not only can my God open it, but He can cause a piece of wood to open it. You can't close yourself off for God and think you're scared. No matter where you go, God said from the very depths of the ocean, I'm thinking you'll come for it. There's no high sweat. You and I, those soldiers that were buried at sea near the war when they was killed, they may not even have an idea where the remains of that is. But when God sees that soul going to come forth and stand before Him, why ain't a father that knows where all of the children are? Those that accepted Him and be a father, and those that rejected Him. And those that accept Him, He said, I have an inheritance waiting for you. And those that reject Him, He said, I have a place reserved for you. You and I today, God is reaching forth. We might have a father here that has failed, not been perfect. Most of us ain't. I have to say, I feel like I failed my family, my children greatly in my lifetime. But I can point them to one that has never failed. And you and I, if our Father was not perfect, even if He didn't have a perfect heart, you can set your mind in your heart to live before your children just as God would have you to live. You know, you don't have to follow a bad example. Christ gave us a real good one, didn't He? He come and lived a perfect life. When they crucified Him, old Pilate said, "I find no fault in Him." You know, that's the thing I could never understand. Pilate said, "I find no fault in Him." But then he turned and had Him scourged. Had Him beaten before going and being crucified. If He didn't find any fault in Him, why did He do that? Because of my sin and your sin. Crucifying Him wasn't just enough. He said, "By His stripes, we are healed." Everything Christ went through was for me and for you. Have you ever called upon God and said, "Lord, I need healing"? He said, "I paid for that. The stripes that was laid upon Him was for my healing." And He called upon Him and said, "God, forgive me, I've sinned." He said, "I paid for that." Each one of us, He paid the price. But are we willing to accept what He did? Are we willing to get on our knees and say, "God, I have sinned. I need a Savior today. I want to feel that Spirit on the inside"? Oh, what a wonderful feeling when it goes from that heart failure under condemnation to one that leap out of your chair because it's been forgiven. The joy of knowing your sin is under the blood. There's nothing better. I beg each and every one of you, don't let the devil rob you of knowing true salvation. It's not good enough to be a church member. You must be a member of the family of God. You know, when you get to heaven, Nebo Free Will Baptist Church roll is not going to be red. It's going to be those that was Christians upon the roll. If you're on this roll and your heart's not right with God, your name won't be mentioned as those that's going into heaven. Because joining the church don't make you right. It's whether you've been born again or not. And, you know, that new birth is an experience that you know. You can take anybody that wants to the spot where you made it right with God. There have been many of a time I've had to take the devil back there when he tried to say, "There's no use. You're not a Christian." You start taking him back to the place where you was born again. You start thinking about that time and the experience you had. You start feeling that blessing come all over again. And the first thing you know, it's just you and God. There alone, the devil's had to leave. Why? He don't like where God is. And when you invite God in, and you start praying and talking to God, the devil's going to have to leave. Each and every one of us, please, I beg you, as we get some song to sing here today, if your heart's not right with God, don't leave here lost, because you may not live to get home. There is not a promise to any of us that we're going to see the sunset on this day. Not a one of us can say, "I know I'll be alive tomorrow. Good Lord's will. Tomorrow I'm in hopes to start mowing some hay. But I may never see that mower hooked up to the tractor. But if I don't, I'm not worried about it. The hay will be all right. All I'm concerned about is it all right between me and God? And if it is, I know that all those that I care about here are in far better hands than if I live. I would much rather leave this world right with God and trust in God to take care of the ones that I care about in this life than for the Lord to let me live another 100 years to watch over them. Because there's very little that I can do. I can't protect. I can't prevent things from happening. But I can trust in a God who can. While we stand and sing, I beg you, if you don't know God, don't continue in that shame. You might say, well, I know Him. I've read the Bible. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? When you call upon God, is it because He's your best friend and you know that He's there watching over you? Is it because you know Him as your Lord and Master? Or is it just because you don't have nobody else to call upon that can help when trouble comes? I beg you, it makes a whole lot of difference when you know Him as your Lord and Master. Will you come? Take everything to God in prayer. And most of all, this day and time, people need to pray that they can have a spirit-filled experience with God. You know, a lot of people, and you'll hear it said sometimes in news, they talk about holy rollers and all of that. Well, you know, the sad part about it, most people in the United States that calls themselves a Christian, they don't know the least little thing about the Holy Spirit. It's something they've heard about, but they've never experienced. You know, if you are a Christian, no matter what your age is, if you are a Christian, you would have the Holy Spirit on the inside. If you're not a Christian, it's not there. And you don't have to say, am I right with the Lord, and wonder. If you're true and sincere, all you got to do is say, Lord, if I died right now, would I be right with you? The answer is there. If you've got a doubt, that right there lets you know you're not. Because if you are, you know. And I hope and pray that each and every one that's here today, that's at the age of accountability, you know beyond a shadow of any doubt that your heart's right with God. Because if it's not, you stand before God, don't expect heaven to open unto you because of some life that somebody else lived. You're going to be standing there for the life you've lived. And if it's not been lived for the Lord,